Greetings and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. This is where we seek to have conversations through the very lenses of Christ's eyes. I am very happy and delighted this episode and this day to be recording this with two good friends of mine. One is a brother in Christ. The other is a fellow soldier in Christ. I will invite them to describe themselves in ways they seem best.
I think Mark is the soldier here. I'm the brother. I'm Emmanuel Simiv. So glad to join us today.
Yeah.
And looking forward to having a wonderful time and good conversation with these two gentlemen here.
Thank you.
One is a soldier.
Thank you, Steve. I think when Steve said that one is a brother in Christ, one is a brother in Christ, and what came into mind immediately was that is there a possibility that there's one of us here who Steve is doubting their salvation? But anyway, on a light note, my name is Mark Arodi, and it's good to be here. Steve has said that we describe ourselves. I don't know how that should look like, but a brief description. I'm a child of God and a fellow soldier with other soldiers in the army of Christ.
Exactly.
Of course, I admit that.
Full armor of God.
Yeah, I have the full armor of God.
Breastplate.
Yes. And of course, even the hymn comes to mind. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching unto victory. So,
looking unto Jesus.
Yeah. Sure. So, I'm happy to be here this morning. It's been a while, really. It's a joy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Arodi and Simiu. Today, we shall seek to discuss or to have a conversation on the uncertainties of life. there are so many things in this present world we are not sure of.
Yeah.
One being the future. Actually, that is the main thing we don't know. We are uncertain about the future, and the main reason is because it is unknown. We don't know what lies ahead. So we seek to do a lot of things. Banks give us the option of savings, life savings, you know, such that if you die, there's also that option. If you die, your children will not suffer. You know, when you go, they will get an inheritance. There are so many things. The change of government, who knows who the next president will be. Currently, we are operating under the Honorable William Ruto, my president, and Simiu's president as well, and so many other things. But there are a few things as well about what life you are certain of. Things like death, things like judgment, if you have interacted with scripture, the second coming of Christ, we are certain that is set to happen. We are also sure that great signs and wonders will come in readiness for the second coming of Christ as a sign that, hey,
they are here, actually.
He is coming.
The signs are already there. Yeah. We have them,
That, and even for the believer, Christ would assure his disciples that you will face trials and tribulations. And with the trials, you may actually be prone to fear. But he tells them, do not be afraid, for I will be with you. So there are quite a number of things in this life that we are certain of. Yet there is quite a lot that we are uncertain of.
Amazing. And also, just to point out, our living is quite uncertain. You know, the way we pray and we hope that tomorrow we shall wake up. And the Lord wills that we wake up every day. Our living, the decisions we make, we are not sure what happens after school. Still and I, who are still students, we are not sure of the transitions. We are not sure of provision. We are not sure of providence. We are hanging in there. Let's use the phrase. We are not sure about everything. So in essence, life is not black and white fully. There is some grace where we move through. We are not certain of suffering that is coming. You know, the Lord is saying suffering is come. you know, and so many other things. So we want to seek, we seek to talk about that and to shed light on now what next for us.
Yeah, sure. I think life is very uncertain. I mean, yesterday I saw a post by a friend. Is it a friend? Not really a friend, but one of my contacts. And he says that the worst semester that I've faced so far, life is hard and you can't predict the future. And I think as Steve, you're introducing the episode, I think what came into mind is that life is uncertain, but the uncertainty doesn't result to joy, happiness, you know, the natural state. Perhaps as the conversation goes on, we'll talk more about that. But life is so uncertain. Today I'm healthy. I don't know what happens next. Today I have money. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Today I'm alive. I don't know how things will be tomorrow. So I think life is uncertain. Life is unpredictable. Life is completely, completely unpredictable. Look at 2020, how we begin the year. 2 months into the year, the whole world is literally shut down. Airports closed, 40,000 planes grounded. All those things that nobody had foreseen. You can't be sure that in the beginning of the year, perhaps Kenya Airways will sit down, prepare for the year, what to do, do this. Investors are channeling their funds into the companies. Then suddenly, so I think life is uncertain in literally everything.
Speaking of 2020,
yeah.
You remind me of the number of songs that came out.
Yeah.
How everybody declared 2020 will be their year.
Yeah,
2020, double, you know.
Yeah,
it was quite the year. And even this year is far from being over.
Yeah, I mean, even today, I mean, you talk of the year, and even how today starts, Muse sharing with us that a cyclist had been knocked by the bus. I'm sure most likely the cyclist left the house and was sure the day will pick up well and, you know, will carry on. Just like our friend today left as a cyclist, going to ride with other cyclists. I mean, he's hoping that the day would go well. But an hour ahead or an hour later or 2 hours later, something else happens. The truth is, even 1 p.m. today is very uncertain.
Sure. Our friend, the cyclist.
Yeah. We hope he listens to this. Dear friend, he was a cyclist as well,
We ought to pray for him. But
But
yes, there are so many things. And I think as I was reflecting on this episode, looking at the few things I'm uncertain of, one has to be the career path, as you're also talking with you, Mark.
Yeah, sure.
Where people end up after campus.
You
study for 6-7 years for a certain degree.
Sure.
Then 2 years down the line after you graduated, we hear you're an MC somewhere.
Yeah.
Or an MC. You get into politics. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
True, yeah. Businessman.
Yeah.
And I think this is not in any way to sort of demean other things.
True.
This is not in any way to say that the MC is in a lesser category than the engineer who might have studied for 6 or 7 years. Sure. Remember, all these people are expected, so long as they're Christians, to do one thing, whatever they do, to work heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saying. But you just agree with the point that how uncertain life is, studying engineering, then ending up to become a business analyst.
Steve looks like a politician.
I thank God I give credit to the president. I hope he also. No, but yeah, there are so many things. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
The next assignment in life.
Yeah, know, sure.
As Simiu mentioned when he was introducing himself.
Yeah.
Introducing even the podcast, that we are coming close to finishing our time in campus, and so it is, where next? What is the next assignment for me, where will the Lord call me to serve and to even live? You know, you don't even know where you will settle down.
Sure.
Whom you will settle with.
Yeah. And to even talk of settling, we mean who you will marry or who you'll get married to. We talk of settling down. And those are questions that people struggle with. Who will I marry? Who? Where will I live? What will I do? How many children will I have? And honestly, those are uncertain things. But as we're going to look shortly, I think for me, it's where they lead us to. that's the problem. I mean, when you think about then certain things ahead, and
and they led one man to the desert, the prophet Elijah. He was unsure of his life. I don't know how to put it, but he was unsure of whether he will live after the decree by Jezebel, that is First Kings 19.
Mm-hmm.
And so the man runs away after having displayed greatness from the Lord. He calls, he prays to the Lord, and he comes and consumes the sacrifice with the fire and with all these things. And yet the certainty in which he had about God, his belief in the Lord himself, is sort of put to test. He begins to doubt. Similar to Thomas, Christ had told the disciples, yes, I will die. This temple of mine will be brought down, but 3 days later, I'll come back to life. Even the news had come to the disciples
from
the women, even from the ones who went, I think it was Peter, who went to the tomb and confirmed, he's actually not there. He has resurrected. And still Thomas would not believe. And Christ would come to him personally and say, I don't know if he brought his hands, but...
Yeah, sure, he did. He actually felt it.
Yes.
The account in Thomas, John 21, thereabouts.
So he felt the very wounds of God, where the nails were pierced.
Yeah.
And say, do you believe? He went personally to him because he had great doubts.
Mm.
And his exclamation was, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are quite a number of people we also get to interact with in scripture who are doubting, who are not so sure.
Yeah, sure, Stephen. And you know, talk of that, and there you go. You've talked about doubt.
Mm.
That's the problem with uncertainties.
Mm.
When we
anxiety and doubt.
Yeah, that's where we end up. We end up in anxiety, we end up in worry, we end up in doubt.
Mm.
We end up in discontentment, we end up in unthankfulness, and all those things are but one thing.
Mm.
We end up in sin.
Mm.
We sin against God.
Mm.
Because what happens when I doubt God, you know, what happens when you are my friend, I know you love me, but I suddenly said, Steve, yes, you say you love me, but I know you don't love me.
Mm.
You say you care for me, but I know you don't care for me. You say that you think about me, you pray for me, but what happens when I oppose what you claim to do to me? You feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you feel bad because I no longer trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing that happens when we put distrust in God.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that he loves us,
mm-hmm.
but we be like, God, you know, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that he's there for us, then you're like, no, God, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that he'll provide, then you're like, ah, really?
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at things around me,
yes,
bro. And for me, it's a worry, because if he's done the greatest thing, if he's given us his only son, like God has done the greatest part, that is removing us from hell to heaven, how much more about the next couple of days? Yeah.
True. And reminds me of Gideon also. Reminds me of Gideon. You know, I don't know. God was loving to Gideon. You know, when Gideon is called and he gives all the illustrations, I'm the weakest of my clan, the littlest amongst family members.
Sure.
And he goes forth to test whether the Lord is truly on his side. And the three things he does. Doubt and worry comes from all these uncertainties and lead us to the place where we question God's sovereignty in things. And secondly, we lose sight of his providence, right?
Yeah.
That the Lord is seated on the throne and he is aware.
Mm.
And ours is to ask of him and trust him through.
Mm-hmm.
But because worry and anxiety kicks in, so we are clothed.
Yeah.
So we don't see his glory.
Yeah. We've been blinded.
Yeah, sure. Literally.
Yeah.
And our prayer is that we may see him through. Just to point out something, this does not happen to only unbelievers.
I mean,
It also happens to us.
Yeah, so sure,
it is a shared problem between heathens and Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we just seek to expound on that.
Yeah. And even before we began the podcast, we made mention that Christianity is a faith-based belief. As in, our relationship with God is faith-based.
Yeah, sure.
And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord.
Mm.
When it comes to uncertainty, that sort of implies we have lost our gaze on scripture.
Sure.
Our mind has not been fixed here because in Hebrews 13, he also says, it is written, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And yet, in times of uncertainty, mm-hmm. we felt like the Lord has left us. We felt like the Lord has forsaken us.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Elijah. He felt the Lord had left him. Mm-hmm. He had forsaken him. So he ran away from mm-hmm. God. But a beautiful thing that happens, mm-hmm. it's maybe it's not the running away part, but the running back to God.
Yeah.
It's like we tend to... We are prone to wander.
Yeah.
We are prone to leave the God that we love.
Sure.
And so it is sort of the merciful thing or the gracious thing the Lord does is that as we run away from Him, He mm-hmm. still He not only also comes for us where we have run, where we have run to the hills, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I look up to the hills. Where does my strength,
my help come from?
But it comes from. We might run anywhere,
sure.
but also the Lord also comes and sort of chases mm-hmm. after us. Mm. And also another story is that of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
After he had died,
mm.
The Lord told them that I am coming.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were here, mm-hmm. is it 3 or 4 days ago?
Yeah.
He would not.
4 days, yeah.
Yeah, he would not have died such that the Lord may not exactly say I will be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But he says, I will be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think those promises are very important, Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about those promises and especially, I will be with you.
Yeah.
The one that just said. That was the last thing that Christ said before leaving earth. That I am with you.
Yeah, always
to the end of age. And before that, he says that all authority.
Mm.
All authority. Man, this doesn't exclude even this recording.
Mm.
That promise that all authority is in Christ. I think that should give us hope. Imagine, I know you guys are good and everything. But now imagine.
Very good.
You're doing good and you have where you can lay your head. But if today you receive a mansion, you receive a mansion with everything in it, with food in it, you know, there will be no uncertainty when it comes to food. There will be no uncertainty when it comes to food. Now, you receive a mansion with everything, you have servants, I mean, all these things that we work for, you receive all these things.
Mm.
How do you respond? Well, there's some joy that comes with that, there's some happiness that comes with that. But now God has done a lot more than that.
Mm.
When we think of His promises, when we think of His great salvation, redemption from sin, in filling with the Holy Spirit, when we think of the fellowship of saints, when we think of the gift of His word, when we think of all these things, you know what happens to worry and anxiety? They literally, slowly but surely, pale.
Yeah.
They fade away. And I think when you said that part of us being in worry part of us being eaten by uncertainties is because of how we've lost sight in God's word.
Yes.
Then I think I totally agree with you. And just to quote John Newton. Steve will send for me the quote.
No, you read it.
He was starting to often and he says,
yeah.
I think, talk of providence. One of the marks of Christian maturity, which a believer should seek, is an... Steve, say the word.
Steve, say the word.
Is an...
Acquiescence.
It's an acquiescence. That means an agreement,
Okay.
an acceptance, a consent.
Yeah.
Is an acquiescence in the Lord's will, founded in a persuasion of His wisdom, holiness, sovereignty, and goodness. So far as we attain to this, we are secure from disappointment. Our own limited views and short-sighted purposes and desires may be and will be often overruled. But then, our main and leading desire, that the will of the Lord may be done, must be accomplished. These are things that are only possible when we come to God's word.
Mine are the words of a hymn writer, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I love the last part.
Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things of this world.
Yeah.
Strangely.
Dim.
Grow dim in the light of His glory.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's beautiful how the Lord for fate,
mm-hmm.
our will, and transforms us mm-hmm. to his own
mm-hmm.
and helps us to grow
mm-hmm.
in knowledge of him,
yeah.
but also appreciate the hope and the assurance mm-hmm. that we have in him.
Mm-hmm.
Another hymn I've been looking at is Will My Anchor Hold
mm-hmm.
Through the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Let me read Psalm 2. We have an anchor
mm-hmm.
that keeps the soul steadfast
mm-hmm.
and sure
mm-hmm.
while the billows roll,
yeah.
fastened to the rock which cannot move,
mm.
grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Mm.
Let's try. grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. So
grounded firm. Yeah.
Our assurance is in Christ,
mm.
that in him we move,
mm-hmm.
in him we live, and in him we have our being.
Mm.
And once we establish our hope
mm.
there,
mm-hmm.
then we grow
yeah,
in
sure.
things and to the cares of this world.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there also mm. we find assurance, we find grace,
mm.
and we find hope
mm.
in our lives as believers today.
Maybe I think you mentioned about Christ, and now Hebrews 13 verse 8 is one of the most comforting verses,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday,
mm-hmm.
today, and forevermore.
Mm.
If he was with us yesterday,
mm-hmm.
if he is with us today, what about tomorrow?
Mm.
He will be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And this promise is grounded, firm,
and deep.
And deep.
Mm.
Brothers, I think worry comes in when you lose sight of these promises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these marvelous truths.
Mm-hmm.
And may the Lord help us
mm-hmm.
to walk in light of these
mm-hmm.
wonderful
mm-hmm.
promises. To know that, not to judge the Lord by our feeble sense, as the hymn writer would say it,
mm-hmm.
but to trust him for his grace. Because behind a frowning providence,
mm-hmm.
he hides a smiling
mm-hmm.
face.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. when Mark had made mention of the mansion, it is another promise that Christ gave his disciples.
Mm.
I know I am leaving you people.
Yeah, yeah.
But where I'm going,
yeah.
He not only says you cannot come right now, but where I'm going to prepare
yeah.
a place for you.
Mm.
And that is another promise
sure.
that the Lord gives.
Mm.
And even with the issue of if we are granted all these things,
mm.
what would be our response?
Mm.
In the Old Testament, we see how the Israelites responded
yeah.
to these things.
Yeah.
The Lord had showered them with all manner of blessings,
mm-hmm.
and their response was a heart that turned away from him.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's ironical, and that's how sinful we are.
Mm.
We, you know, and unless God comes and, you know, holds our hands,
mm-hmm.
walk us into,
mm-hmm.
into that theater,
mm-hmm.
Put some, what's the name of the medicine that makes you sleep? Astethamine, is it?
AstraZeneca.
No, the one that is just doing surgery. Guys, you ought to have medical circles around you. You ought to have medical friends. There's a word, yeah, I hope it comes later. Then
Anesthesia.
Mm. He takes away the heart of stone
mm.
and he puts a heart of flesh.
Mm.
Unless he gives you that heart
mm.
for his desires,
mm.
then brothers,
mm.
every action that we have without
mm.
God
mm-hmm.
is motivated
mm.
by sin
mm.
and nothing more. So,
mm.
so I think that's the irony, that even that for an unbeliever,
mm-hmm.
God can be so kind,
mm-hmm.
God can be so good,
mm-hmm.
yet they can never say that.
Mm-hmm.
But even for a believer,
mm-hmm.
prone to wonder we
mm-hmm.
are, prone to leave the God that
mm-hmm.
we love,
mm-hmm.
you realize that even after you've come to Christ,
mm-hmm.
we struggle with the sin in us. And,
mm-hmm.
and Paul will ask the question, the things that I do,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And he asks the question, who will deliver me from this wretched body
mm-hmm.
that is subject to the law, that is subject to death? But he goes on towards the end of Romans chapter 7, just to say that, it's not him because he's in Christ Jesus, but it's the sin in him.
Mm.
It's the flesh in him.
Mm.
And he finds hope in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
So I think the reality of sin. And that's why we must fight sin every day.
Mm.
Paul would say that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Of whom?
Mm.
I'm the
chief.
I'm the chief of.
Mm.
You know, he was writing that towards the end of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just appreciating the reality of sin,
mm-hmm.
that we must be intentional
mm-hmm.
by the help of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to work out our salvation
mm-hmm.
with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin,
mm-hmm.
sin is a reality
mm-hmm.
that so long as you're in this world, we
mm-hmm.
must deal with. And that includes worry.
Mm-hmm.
That includes anxiety, which is born
mm-hmm.
by the uncertainties that we can never tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've shed light to our personal lives.
Yeah.
Knowing that we are believers on a journey, we have tried to give biblical indicatives of people who have gone through the same. And it's true, such is the life of a Christian, that we are sinful, but we look forward to glorification, where the Lord will fully deliver us from.
Yeah.
Even in this, that the Holy Spirit is present in us. Is it Titus 2:11 that says that the grace of God has appeared to all
sure,
men,
sure.
teaching them to say no to ungodliness, but also helping them, ordering their lives so that they may lead lives that are godly, godly living in Him.
Yeah.
And so I'd say that ours is to, in sight of uncertainties, ours is to go back and meditate upon the Word of God and see what He has to say about things, and maybe to demystify something. I know we are faced with all these questions, and then we may be conjoled to go to the men of God.
We may be conjoled. Is that an English word?
Yeah, persuaded.
Okay. You said persuaded. Is persuaded an English word? is persuaded an English word?
It's Greek. I know charisma may encourage us to go and look at what men of God have to say about our lives. In Kenya right now we are talking about the Shakahola thing.
Pastor Mackenzie, and of course now that linked to Pastor Ezekiel Odero, who acts some sort of divine tellers or fortune tellers, so they can sort of tell you how the future is. So you know, actually, for them, they would listen to this podcast and they'll say, hey, life is not uncertain. Life is certain.
Certain.
You just need this towel. You need this towel. You need this water.
You need some water.
And you can tell where you'll be, who you'll marry, where you will live, what you will do, how much you will earn. What you need to do is to give a sacrifice of 5,000 shillings. And
true.
Sorry for cutting you short, but...
Thank you, Mark. So we may be persuaded to go that way.
Yeah.
But then also knowing that this is not true. This, you know, it is sola scriptura. It is what the Lord says in His Word that can be tested, you know, that can be looked into, you know, test these words and see whether they are true. And not what the final say by, quote unquote, the man of God has to say. So ours is an invitation to really shed light into what is wrong and focus our eyes on what is true, God's Word, and what He has to say about our future.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Life is uncertain. Just to agree on that, I'm sure you're winding up on that. James chapter 4. What is your life?
Better passing.
If I look at how the Bible describes life, James chapter 4 is one of the ways, you know, like a vapor. It's now here, then it's not there. Your life is like a shadow. It starts big in the morning. By noon, it's dwindling. I mean, but then by night, it's not there. Your life is like grass. It withers. And the flower seeks your faithfulness, and your glory does what? Falls. What is your life? What is your life in comparison to eternity? What is your life in comparison to Methuselah, who lived for 969 years? I hope that figure is right. 900 plus years. Well, the question here is, how we sometimes want to view life is totally different from how Scripture views life. Not the question, but the point. That's the point that I'm trying to bring by saying, what is your life? I mean, yes, number one, life is uncertain, but in that uncertainty, it's so there's also a mystery in it. If God would consider a day to be 1,000 years, then we've only lived in this world for a millisecond. I don't know, but thank you.
Yeah, even as you're talking about life being uncertain and the likes of whatever is happening in Kenya, the Mackenzie situation.
Yeah,
I was reminded of the parable of the rich fool.
That's a classical illustration, Steve. Yeah. Oh, that's why we love you.
Yeah,
that's a nice one.
Thank you for bringing it up. I love my fellow soldiers.
I was waiting for you to bring one. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what he says. Yeah. Christ is asked the question, tell my brother to divide my inheritance.
Yes.
Then he gives them this story.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the land of this rich man brought much.
Yeah.
And he said to himself, what shall I do?
Yeah.
I have nowhere to store my crops.
Yeah.
He says, I will do this.
Mm-hmm.
Tear down my barns, build larger ones.
Mm-hmm.
There I will store all my grain,
and
I will say to my soul,
Soul,
you have ample goods laid up for many.
That's what we do for many years. That's what we do. We plan and we say that I'm studying this course. I'll do this. I'll do this after 10 years. I'll get this. That's what we do.
Yeah. So this guy, if there's someone who was actually certain about life, it was this particular individual.
But
he thought he was certain.
Yeah.
He was like, I have things for many years. So what? This is what I'm going to do.
Life is figured out for him. Yeah.
I will relax. I will eat. I will
drink.
Yes, I will make. I will just eat a jivinjari. I will enjoy life. But the Lord comes to him at midnight and say, you fool.
So it's foolishness to think that. I think it's foolishness to think that life is certain.
True.
In terms of tomorrow and next week, it's foolishness. We're not saying that you should not plan for next week. Please plan for next week, plan for next month, plan for next year, plan for the next 10 years, plan as much as you can in the spirit of Proverbs 16. Yeah. But know that God is sovereign and He can't interrupt your plan.
Yeah, so the future we may want to ascertain the future to the best of our ability, the same way this individual did, but he forgot he had raised himself up, he had raised an idol, and he had put certainty in that. And even the hope for the believer is that in times of uncertainty, there's only one particular source of clarity in our lives, because we, as you said, we don't know. We ought to say, I will do this and that if the Lord wills.
Exactly.
Lord willing.
Sorry, Steve, it's pride to say. It's prideful, actually, to say that I'll do this and do this without saying the Lord wills. Look to James chapter 4. James described that kind of a person, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but that's arrogance. You're arrogant. Who told you that you'll be there next week?
Sure.
It's only if the Lord wills.
It's only if the Lord wills.
Yeah. It's only if the Lord wills. And I think that's important, yeah.
I think the rich fool is an invitation for us to look through what is it that we focus our lives on. You know, is it the eternal things? Is it eternity? Are we living in view of eternity? Are we looking through tomorrow? Are we looking to the situations of our souls? Are we looking to the certain things? We began by saying the certain things. We shall die. To die, there comes Christ.
It's appointed for man to die once and thereafter face
judgment. There is judgment that is coming. So while we are quote unquote certain about how we have our lives figured, then are we also certain about the things that we should be certain of, such as death, judgment, and things? So I think that is an invitation. When we look through that, and that is an invitation that now we shall order our lives in view of eternity. Now we shall lead our lives in view of who Christ is and what He's coming to do and what is expected of us, knowing that also it is the Lord who helps us to praying that God may bring people to the faith so that they may start looking at life through His eyes.
And the only certain thing, the only true thing that we have is the very word the very word of God.
Amen.
So despite the uncertainties, our focus should not be on the things that we do not know, rather on the thing that we know. And much more on the one who knows all things.
Yeah.
And also there's a song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know that he holds my future, then this present uncertain life is worth living. Because I know that Christ lives.
Yeah, sure. Our confidence is in what Steve has said. That God is certain. And therefore, because God is certain, the believer knows how the ultimate future is certain. The believer knows how the story ends. The believer is sure that should he die, should he not see tomorrow in this side of eternity, he will see the future tomorrow. The future eternity in heaven. And I think that's our joy. And so I think we seem to be coming to an end.
I think
we ought to know that it's the moral will of God that we are not to be anxious.
Sure.
God has commanded us not to be anxious. When I tell you, Steve, Steve, don't be anxious, it could be as an encouragement. But when it comes from God, do not be anxious. When Christ says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will come with its own shares of troubles, that's a command. So for me, I think, may God help us to look at God and to believe in his character. Yeah, thank you.
Sure. I mean, all glory is fleeting. Everything will come and go. You know, even the heavens will disappear, but something will be here to stay, God's word. And ours is to just think through the truth of his word and find hope through him and find the assurance through Christ.
Thank you. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in.
Yeah.
We have indeed come to the end. And the book of John 14, 1 to 6 says, Christ encourages his disciples and tells them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to where I am going. But Thomas.
Who's Thomas? The one who doubted him? Okay, what did
Thomas
he say?
Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?
Do you know how Christ must have felt when he just pops out and says, we do not know? I mean, Christ is like, what do you mean, young man? All these years. Anyway, Steve, continue the reading.
Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? But Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Amen.
No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
I am the way and the truth. Is it?
Sure.
And the truth.
Yeah.
There's no comma. It's and the truth and the life. It's very definite that Christ is all these things.
So yeah, be encouraged despite the uncertainties. What we are certain of is eternity, and that indeed pales in comparison to this present life. We may only live for 80 years, but we know what will happen for 80 times 80 power 80. You know, it's like we are certain of something that is far greater than the short life that we get to live. And we are certain of that because of the risen Christ.
Can I just say Romans 8:32?
Sure.
If he gave us, he who gave us his only son, how much more? Is it so? Oh my goodness. I'd memorize it, Romans 8:32, but I'm failing when I'm live on air. But I think I'll just... let me just read Romans 8:32 as we wind up. The verse says that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all. Listen to this. How will he not also with him graciously give us
all things.
Mm.
The hardest part is done.
Mm.
What about, I mean, the hardest, eternity sorted out. Mm. Simbuse, mm. The next 2 days, the next 1 year.
Mm. Let not your heart be troubled, but believe. Believe in the Lord. Thank you for joining in. Tune in next time. Thank you as well, Arodi, for visiting.
Thank you for having me. It was a joy. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Delighted to have you. And thank what you. Do we tell our listeners?
Bye. Bye.